Okay, we're starting here on the bottom of Kuf Zayin Amud Bet, four lines from the bottom. Gemara is discussing about when our Mishnah said Samuch the Mincha, whether that means Samuch the Mincha Gdola or Samuch the Mincha Tana. The Gemara is bringing different proofs to that fact. So now we have Rava Vashati Chamra, Kule Male Yoma de Piskwa. Rava used to drink wine all day on Erev Pesach. Geheche de Nigrare Libe. So that he would increase his appetite. He thought that was a appetizer, in a sense that would whet his appetite, and therefore he'd be hungry at night. So that he would eat more matzah at night, or he'd be more excited about eating the matzah at night. How can I prove to you that wine is actually increasing my appetite and not suppressing my appetite? It's not. Because we have a Mishnah coming up. Between the first cup and the second cup, the second cup and the third cup, if you want to add on and drink more wine, you are permitted. Between the third and the fourth cup, you may not drink. If you say that if you drink wine, it's actually satisfying and it suppresses your appetite, why should you be able to drink in between? In the end, you're going to end up eating matzah chila gasa because you've drank so much wine prior to that point in time. It's pretty clear that wine increases the appetite. Now, why you could drink from between the first, second, and second, and third, if it's according to Rava, is because it increases your appetite. So why not between the third and the fourth? Well, between the third and the fourth, we have two issues. One is, you might get drunk. You're drinking so much wine at that point that you might get drunk. What do you mean you get drunk? The guy's been drinking all night. Why would he get drunk then? So Gemara makes a point that there's a difference between yayin b'tocha mazon and yayin achar mazon. When you eat together with drinking, you're less likely to become drunk. Whereas if you drink alone without any food, then you're more likely to become drunk. That's one of the issues. The other issue is that if you keep drinking, we're afraid you may not finish off the seder. And then what David mentioned also, the issue of the afikoman, although we know that at least for the two cups, it's not a problem. So therefore, maybe it would not be a problem for the additional cups that we have. We'll discuss that when we get there. Now, Rav Sheshet Aviyoti B'tanita Komale Yom Depiska. Rav Sheshet used to fast all day on Erev Pesach, not because he was a Bechor. Neima Kasava Rav Sheshet Samuch Mincha Gdola Tanan. That it really means in our Mishnah, Samuch Mincha Gdola, which means Mishum Peschahu. The reason that he's not eating is because maybe you'll get sidetracked and you won't end up doing the Korbanah Pesach. Well, what do you mean that he's not going to do the Korbanah Pesach? Why does he have to fast all day? He only has to fast. The Korbanah Pesach only starts from 12:30 on the day. Why would he have to fast all day? So Tosafot says, Lav Dafka. He didn't really fast all day. He has to be careful not to eat. Inami. Where he was mekabel on himself a tanit. Ba'bechorot, na'aguli tanot erev Pesach. Bechorot have a minog to fast on erev Pesach. Dani b'masechet sofrim. She'imitani b'nissan ela bechorot v'erev Pesach. There are no fast days in Nissan except for the fast day of the bechorot on erev Pesach. But that's a much later addition. That's been the masechet sofrim. That's not mentioned in the Gemara. It's unlikely that Rav Sheshet was practicing that fast of the bechorot on erev Pesach. Now Dilma Mimshach, because maybe we'll be drawn after the food, but atim nuim el eved piska, and then he won't make the korban of Pesach. And he believes, ki had amar Rav Hoshaya amar Rav Elazar, machshir hayar ben b'teira b'Pesach, ben b'teira was matir, sheshachatu shacharit barbasa lishmo. If you brought a korban Pesach in the morning of the 14th, it's considered to be a good korban of Pesach. Umitzaf zman paskahu, because the zman of Pesach actually starts from the morning. Tekula yom achazi the piska. The whole day is good for a Korban Pesach. Wait, what happened to the Ben Arbaim piece of it? Right. The Gasavar, Ben Arbaim. What does Ben Arbaim mean? So we always say Ben Arbaim means Ben Haravim. Ben Haravim means the beginning of the Erev when the sun moves over to the western side, plus the Erev is when the sun sets. So that's Ben Harbaim. So no, he says Ben Erev Detmol, the Erev Daidna. Ben Arbaim means between yesterday's evening and today's evening. So that's what it means. The whole day is good for Korban Pesach. Obviously not at night, because there are no Korban bread at night. Same reason. So maybe not. Shiny Rav Sheshet, the Istin Isabo. Rav Sheshet was a little different. He was very particular. And since he was so particular, the time b'tzach for midday. If he ate a little bit in the morning, the ortolav imahani le michla, By the time the evening came around, he wouldn't feel a certain appetite or excitement about the food. He was not a big eater. He was a very picky, skimpy eater. And therefore, if he ate something in the morning, it already ruined his appetite for later in the day. So therefore, in order to whet his appetite, he fasted all day, but not necessarily because it's connected to the issue of Mincha Gdola versus Mincha Ketana. It just may have been particular to Rav Sheshet and not really answering our question over here. And even though in Rav Sheshet's time there was no Karban HaPesach, Rashram says, came into Gozer Gozer, since they put it in place, it's already in place. And therefore, we would assume that the fast continues that way, even though it's no longer relevant in terms of Rav Sheshet's time, but the fast was put in place. Once it's put in place, it remains in place. Alright. V'afilu ani b'Yisrael lo yochal ad sheyasif. And even an Ani Yisrael should not sit down to eat until he does his seba. That we discussed before in the Mishnah, whether the afilu ani b'Yisrael, what that referenced, whether it referenced the seba or referenced the yayin, the arba kosot. Now, with regards to his seba, Itmar, matzah tzarich heseba. Matzah requires heseba, that's a given. Maror, ain't tzarich heseba. Maror does not require heseba. As the Rashbam explains, that when it comes to matzah, shochel matzah shel mitzvah, laila rishon k'bnei chorin, shu zecher the geula. You have to do it in the way of bnei chorin to remember the geula. On the other hand, the maror does not require it because it's zecher le'abdut. Since the maror is zecher le'abdut, therefore, you don't have to do it. It's interesting with matzah, because matzah is the lechem oni, but the truth is that the pasuk that we bring, which we'll see later, the pasuk that we bring with regards to why we eat matzah, because they didn't have time for their batzik to rise, is brought in Dvarim next to the pasuk that you have to remember the geula. So there is an aspect of geula. So even though the matzah is lechem oni, it is zecher le geula. What David's raising is actually an interesting question, but it's really in the other direction. Well, here, because it says, Ain't Tzarich HaSeba B'Maror, sounds like if you did it, it wouldn't hurt. The real question raised by the Rishonim is the machlokut between the Rash and the Rambam is by Matzah. It says, Matzah Tzarich HaSeba, how obligatory is that? If one is not Mesiv, one does not lean for the Matzah, then what did you fail to do? Did you fail to accomplish the mitzvah of Matzah, eating Matzah? And therefore you would have to eat the Matzah again with HaSeba. Or you fail to do the mitzvah of a seba. And that is actually a machlokut between the Rosh and the Rambam. Rosh says that it ruins your mitzvah of matzah, and you have to re-eat the matzah. The seba is so integral to the mitzvah of matzah, that if you eat without a seba, you have not accomplished the mitzvah of eating matzah on the night of Pesach. Because the eating the matzah has to be done in a zecher l'cherut way. If you don't do it the zecher l'cherut, you haven't eaten matzah in the proper way. It's a part and parcel of the mitzvah. On the other hand, the Rambam says that matzah is fine, just seba lo yotza. He didn't accomplish the mitzvah of a seba. Right? So mitzvah seba he didn't accomplish. Why do we do a seba by matzah? Because matzah is the ikar achilo of the night. So it's the ikar achilo of the night. That's where we tell you to do a seba. But if you fail to do a seba there, it's not because it's integral to the matzah. It means that you fail to do a seba, not that you fail to eat matzah. You ate the matzah, you didn't do the mitzvah of a seba. The question comes up, yayin. What about with the wine? The arba kosot, you have to do a seba. Itmer mishmei de Rav Nachman, tzarech a seba. We have one memra in the name of Rav Nachman that you do have to do a seba. Itmer mishmei de Rav Nachman, ain't tzarech a seba. We have another memra that says you do not require it. Velo plige. And they don't argue. Ha, betarte kase kamai, betarte kase kavetrai. One has to do with the first two cups, one has to do with the latter two cups. Which ones? So, amri la, the high gisa. Some say it this way. Amri la, the high gisa. And some say it that way. Which is, it can say two and two. We don't know which two are of which. So it says, Amrilo la hagisa trei kase kamai bo haseba. First two require haseba de hashtahu de kamat chalala de cherut. First two require, because that's when we're discussing the cherut. That's the haggadah. That's the whole story. That's when you need to do it. Trei kase batrai. The latter two cups, lo ba haseba. They don't require haseba. Ma de hava hava. You're already past the gula. We're already into eating the meal, into the halal. The cherut is done. Everything's done already. V'amri lo l'haggisa, and some say the other way. Adraba, trei kase batrai baya seba. The latter two cups require seba, ha'ishata de kohavya cherut. At that point, you're free. Trei kase kamai lo baya seba. The first two cups don't require him. Dakate avadim ha'inu kamar. You're still saying the parsha of avadim ha'inu, so therefore you can't lean for the first two cups. Hashta, very interesting conclusion of the Gemara. It's a very famous Iran here. Hashta ditmar hachi, bitmar hachi. Since you have both approaches, idi bi idi ba seba, you have to lean for both of them, all four of them. Yeah. You both for the first two and the latter two, you lean for all of them. Now this is a very interesting solution to the problem, because what we're involved here is the Arba Kosot. Arba Kosot is a din derabonon. And when we have a suffik in a din derabonon, suffik derabonon lekula. So if you were to pass an api aklalot that suffik derabonon lekula, over here, you would say you don't have to lean for any of the cups. So the Ron asks, why does the Gemara's solution here to say, go ahead and lean for all four cups? So he gives two answers. One answer is, lo tricha le milta. It's not a big deal. How big a deal is it to lean for the four cups? So this way, if you lean, you gain all of the aspects, and therefore it's worth it. It's a worthwhile investment to lean, because it's not a big deal, and if you do it, then you accomplish it according to other.
But if you don't lean, that's
seba. Ah, so very good. So then, according to that reasoning in the Ron, if you were to drink without a seba, you would not have to go back. You're only doing it because it's no big deal. On the other hand, the Ron gives another reason, which is one that the Ron is famous for here, which is that when do we say Savik Darabanan Lukula is when, if you do Savik Darabanan Lukula, we'll end up having some manifestation of the mitzvah, but we end up doing it in the more lenient way. Over here, if you apply Savik Darabanan Lukula, the mitzvah doesn't exist. You've eliminated the mitzvah of a seva by Dalek Kosot. And since it would eliminate it entirely, then we don't apply Savik Darabanan Lukula, because it doesn't make sense to apply it here, because then you wipe out the mitzvah entirely. Then that issue comes up by Megillah, Kriyat HaMegillah, by places that have a Safek with regards to Kriyat HaMegillah. If they have to read on Yudalid and Tedvav, there are certain places like Tveria, where it's a Safek if it's Mukaf Choma or not Mukaf Choma. So then, do they read on Yudalid or do they read on Tedvav? So you have the same problem. Reading the Megillah is Safek Darabanan, Tzrisak Darabanan Lukula, you shouldn't have to read on either day. So what's the solution? Solution is, you read on both. No, read on your Dalit, according to the Ron. And that the Gemara says that Rabbi and Rav Asi, who read on both days, was just a din in midat ha-chasidut. But Mi'ikar din, you read only on your Dalit. Ah, so why do you only read on your Dalit there? So why don't you say that you should read on both? The Savik Rabban Lekula would end up having a situation in which you read on neither. So if that's the case, the Ron applies again, which is if you do that, you've wiped out the mitzvah entirely. So we can't say Savik Rabban Lekula and wipe it out. But why isn't the solution to read on both days then? Read on Yudalit and Tedvav. For first of all, maybe in the case of Tricha Milta, it really might be a Tircha. Given the second answer, the answer is that by Yudalit is Man Kriya Lekul. That Yudalit has a different perspective than Tedvav. That even, according to many, even for those that read on Tedvav, Yudalit has an aspect of Kriya, an aspect of Purim. Since Yudalit is Man Kriya Lekol. And so therefore, Yudalit has properties that are not only unique for Yudalit, but they also affect Tedvav. So if I have a choice between Yudalit and Tedvav, I'm going to pick Yudalit because Yudalit incorporates, Yudalit plus might even cover people who are on Tedvav because it says Zman Kriya Lekol. So because of that, we have maybe a different view when it comes to Kriyat HaMegillah.
The Mishnah Melech asks on this Ron, why don't we then apply the same thing to the Arba Kosot and say that we should do a Seba for the first two and not for the latter two? It says the difference is that if we do that, then if there ever was a Takanat Chachamim about the Seba by the latter two cups, we've eliminated it entirely. Whereas, when it comes to Mikra Megillah, even if the cities that have a Safek don't read on Tedvav, nevertheless there are cities that will read in Tedvav, and therefore that Takana is not eliminated entirely. There are other poskim that believe that the Ron is incorrect here, and that those cities that have a Safek have to read on both days.
Alright, Pirkadan. Now Pirkadan, throughout Shas, as always, a machloket what Pirkadan means. Tosafot claims that it's panav lamala. You're laying flat out on your back. Rashi, in some places, notes Pirkadan is that you're laying on your face down. And generally, we're choshes for both as being Pirkadan, but Tosafot is insistent based on the Gemara in Baba Batra, on the stories of Rabbi Barchano, that Pirkadan means laying on your back. So you're not allowed to drink the Dalek Kosot Pirkadan, because that's Loshma Haseba. Seba is when you're leaning on your right, not when you're on your back. Haseba Yamin, Loshma Haseba. Leaning on your right is not called Haseba. Vlood. And more than that, Shema Yaktim Kana the Veshet. Maybe it'll go down the windpipe instead of the esophagus. Viavodi De Sakana, and that would be dangerous. Now Rashi claims that Shema Yagdim Kaneh Leveshet references back to Pirkadan. Goes back on laying flat on your back. That if you eat that way, that could cause the epiglottis won't close properly. And therefore, there's a choking hazard if you eat laying flat out on your back. That's the way Rashi reads it. The Rashbam quotes Rashi and says that he doesn't love that answer of Rashi because you have another thing put in between, which is, first it says Pirkadan, then it says Heseba Tiyamin, and then it gives the reason of Shema Yakdim Kanele Veshet, which makes it sound like Shema Yakdim Kanele Veshet is a problem for leaning on your right, not necessarily for Pirkadan, because otherwise you should have put it right after Pirkadan. In fact, the Gemara waits. Or it could be for both. It's true, it could be for both as well. But therefore he applies the reasoning of Shema Yakdim Kanele Veshet to leaning on your right side. Now, if you do not apply it, like Rashi, you don't apply it to leaning on your right side, then what's the problem with leaning on your right side? If it's not Shema Yakdim Kanele Veshet, what's the problem? So the Rishbam raises it, it's an obvious problem, which is you can't eat anymore. If you're leaning on your right arm, which hand are you going to use to eat?
Your left
hand, right. Ah, so there's the nafkamina. The nafkamina is for lefties then. Between the two different reasons. If the problem is Shema Yakdim Kanele Veshet, it should be irrespective of whether you're a righty or a lefty. If the reasoning has to do with, if you're leaning on your right arm, you can't use your right arm, then for a lefty, it turns out to be just the same problem, the opposite. If he's leaning on his left, he can't use his left hand. That means that a lefty should lean to the right and not to the left. The Ikar Tam, or most focused on the Rashbam, that the Rashbam's right, that it's all about Shema Yakdim Kanele Leveshet, and therefore, lefties also lean to the left side, and do have to struggle a little bit with it, because of Shema Yakdim Kanele Leveshet. Although, again, we've seen this before, that if you're mitztarif, the Rovyah, together with this one reason of the Rashbam, the Rovyah who says that a Seba does not apply today, it's not relevant today, and therefore it's not even derech chirut to lean beheseba. If you put that together with the first reasoning of the Rashbam that has to do with the utility of your right hand, then maybe lefties could lean to their right side and be yotzei, probably pull it off by being mitzarif. The Rashbam or the Rashi with that, the Rashbam explains that it's about utilization of your right hand. And the Rav Yon, you probably could lean to your right side instead of your left side if you are a lefty, although I haven't really seen that practice so often. Isha etzel ba'ala, a woman by her husband, lo bayi haseba. She does not have to do haseba, or maybe she shouldn't do haseba, depends how you read it here. What is the question? Why can't a woman do haseba? So the Rishbam says, mipnei imat ba'ala, because the fear of her husband, fufalo, and she is under the domain of her husband, and that fear makes it that she doesn't feel proper, or it's not appropriate for her to lean in front of her husband. The she'otot brings a second reason, which is lav darchayu d'nashe d'mizga. It's not the normal way for women to lean. That aseba was a practice of the men, not a practice of the women. And there's a third reason brought down by the Ram brings that the women are mishamish. They're serving the meal, so they can't be leaning. So those are the three reasons brought why women would not lead. But then the Gemara has an exception to that. But isha chashuva, if she is an important woman, tzricha haseba, then she does need haseba. And most of the poskim say,
and as we all know,
all our women are chashuvim. Right, exactly. But why does isha chashuva lean? So according to the way the Rashbam reads, this is according to some of the achronim, and explain it this way. The Rashbam says the problem is eimat bala aleha. So isha chashuva might not have a husband, meaning that she's an isha chashuva because she doesn't have a husband, or if she does have a husband, right, she's still isha chashuva, she eimat bala is not aleha. Whereas the shiltot, who says that it's not the derech of women to lean, it really should not make any sense that isha chashuva leans, because it's irrespective of what type of woman you are, women don't lead. Or you could argue that isha chashuva has more of a status like a man than a woman, and therefore she does lean. We say this many times in the Gemara, that the chachamim go to visit a matronia. Matronia, some matrons, these women had power within Rome, and there were certain women that were within that hierarchy, the aristocracy of Rome, and carried a certain amount of weight. It's not clear that they had husbands, but for every reason, they carried weight within the Roman aristocracy. According to the Ran's reasoning, isha chashuva has servants. And since she has servants, then she doesn't have to be mishameshet, and therefore she could lean. So that would make a difference in terms of isha chashuva. Again, the practice today is that all of our women are important, and therefore they do practice haseba. Venei tel aviv, a son by his father, by haseba, requires haseba. As the Rashbam says, that, as we well know, children have fear of their parents, but not too much fear of their parents, and therefore they don't feel uncomfortable leaning in front of their parents. Ibailu, tamid etz rabbo, my, a Talmud by his Rebbe, what? So now, Talmud by his Rebbe, there's the real aspect of fear. Unlike a child by a parent, by the Talmud by the Rebbe, there is that aspect of fear. That aspect of fear might make it that they shouldn't lean, or it's inappropriate to lean. The way the Rashbam notes it is an aspect of fear, but that might be the same. I mean, the fear might derive from the fact that there's a necessity for respect in front of these individuals. In their day, they're not as separate as they are today. Alright, so now, Tashma Abaye, Ki Avina Beimar, When we hear by Meimar, whenever Abai says Beimar, it refers to his Rebbe Rabbo. So when we hear by Rabbo, Zagina and Abirke Dahadodi. We used to lean on each other's knees. So we did a seva by leaning on the next guy, where each one of us leaning on the next guy. Kiatin on the Bay Rav Yosef. By the time we got to Rav Yosef, Rabbo was Rosh Hashiva before Rav Yosef. Abaye is a Talmud of both of Rabba and Rav Yosef. He says, by the time when he was by Rav Yosef's place, Amrlan lo tzrichitu, you guys don't have to lean. Mora Rabcha, Kamora Shemaim. The fear of your Rebbe is like the fear of heaven, and that's what we learn from Et Hashem Elokecha Tira. That's where Rabbi Akiva's Doresh, that what is that, the Rabot? That's a Rabot, Talmidei Chachamim. So there is this aspect of Mora Shemaim when you're in front of your Rebbe. And what's interesting is he says lo tzrichitu, you don't have to. Here it sounds like you may not, rather than lo tzrichitu, because if it's really Mora Rabcha, Kamora Shemaim, it would be inappropriate to lean in front of your Rebbe. And so the lo tzrichitu over here might really be you may not, rather than you don't have to. Meitve, imakola adam misiv, person who's in a meal can lean with anybody around, afilu tamida it's a rabo, even a student in front of his rebbe. So when it says, kitanya ahi, bishulayo denagre. There are two different types of rebbe talmid. Rebbe and talmid, when you're talking about in Torah, talmud chacham, that's one. But there's also an apprentice. And that's what we're talking about here. He's apprentice to the carpenter. That type of person in front of his rebbe, in front of his master, he may lean in front of his master. Ivailo shamash mai. What's the din of the shamash who's serving the meal? The waiter. Tashma damar bishu ben levi. Shamash shachal kizayit matzah kishu meisiv. When he eats a kizayit matzah, when he's leaning, yatsa. He's yotze. Meisivin lo meisiv lo. Sounds like only if he was leaning, yes. If he's not leaning, no. Shma mina baya seba. Shma mina. It's clear from this that he requires a seba. What he's yotze with might be a subject to the machloka we saw before, which is how integral is a seba to matzah. According to those that think a seba is integral to matzah, yatsa means he was yotze the day matzah. When he ate with a seba, he's yotze matzah because he did a seba. According to those who think of him as a separate mitzvot, when yatsa means he was yotze the dinner of a seba, not that he's yotze the dinner of matzah. Vamar Rabbi Shulman Levi. Nashim chayavot barba kasot halalo. Women are chayavot in the four cups. Despite the fact that the four cups are a mitzvah asei shehazman grama, and if they're a mitzvah asei shehazman grama, then maybe they should be turot. Nevertheless, she'af ein hayu boto hanes, because they were part and parcel of the miracle. So you have two things over here. Number one is, v'ilav haitaymar, the Tosfot says, lo hayu chayavot. We would think they're not chayav, the nashim turot in mitzvah asei shehazman grama. Women are turot. From mitzvah seishon melah, af algav the arba kosot derabonon. Even though the arba kosot are derabonon, Tosfot here has a havamina that if it's a mitzvah derabonon, then mitzvah seishon hazman grama is not relevant. Mitzvah seishon hazman grama is only relevant by mitzvah doraita, not necessarily relevant by derabonon. But he says over here that kein doraita tikun, that they were. Now, I don't, whether that means just here or in general, are they kein doraita tikun would have an afkaminot in terms of derabonons. Do we apply mitzvah seishon hazman grama? That's number one. Number two is, she'af ein ayu ba'oto anes. Why is that? Rashi and the Rashbam explain, what is af ein ayu ba'oto anes? It means that the women were particularly involved in the salvation of Bnei Israel. So the three places that this comes up, which she'af ein ayu ba'oto anes comes up in the Gemara, is Arba Kosot, Mikra Megillah, and Nerot Chanukah. So the first thing you see is that it only seems to apply, this din of afeinu b'dot anes only applies to dinei de rabbanan, not dinei de oraita. Number two is, what does it mean, afeinu b'dot anes? So Rashi and Rashbam explain, it's because the women were the ikar salvation. By Pesach it says that the bizchut nashim tzidkaniyot, because of the righteous women, nigalu b'nei Yisrael mitzrayim, Purim, the main character is Esther. And by Chanukah, they quote about Yehudit. That being the main thing. Tosafot over here disagrees and says that's not the reasoning. Afein abiyut anes means that they were also in the same danger. Not that they were the ikar part of the gula, but they were saved just like the men were saved. They were in the same danger of being destroyed or being enslaved in Mitzrayim by Achashverosh. They were in the same danger of being killed. And the decrees by Chanukah also applied to them as they did to the men. So Avin Ayubu Tonais is therefore the salvation that came helped them just like it helped the men, and that's why they are part of this. So now, what about the fact that by Sukkot, let's say, Sukkot, where it's a mitzvah that says it's man grama, and the women are p'turot mi-sukkah. Yet, you could argue, according to Tosafot's explanation, according to Rashi and Rashbam, it's fine. The women have nothing to do with Sukkot in terms of that as a miracle. But yet, Kibbutz Sukkot, Oshav, Dibnei Yisrael, Shotei Otam Eretz Mitzrayim, the women were beneficiaries of Kibbutz Sukkot, Oshav, Dibnei Yisrael, Shotei Otam Eretz Mitzrayim. So if they're Afhein Ayu, Boto Anes, that was the Anenei Akavot, then why aren't the women Chayavot also in Sukkah? Because Afhein Ayu, Boto Anes. What's Tosafot's answer? Hatam Ba'ase Doraita. That's a Din Doraita. Afhein Ayu, Boto Anes does not have an application in Dinei Deoraita, in laws that deal with things that are deoraita. The other place that we see Afhein Ayu Botanais brought up is regards to certain mitzvot of Shabbat. With regards to Lacha Mishneh or Sudash Lushit, some of the Rishonim bring up Afhein Ayu Botanais to obligate women in those issues as well. Even though we saw Zachor v'Shamor should really obligate women in all the mitzvot to say of Shabbat, but maybe if it's only a rabbinic imposition over there, we have to apply Afhein Ayu Botanais in order for them to be obligated in that as well. Now we move on. These arba kosot have to have enough to make it into a good mizigah. Now, we're going to read it. The Gemara here makes a habmeh because it's going to ask a question on it later, but what Shmuel is saying is that you have to get enough what's called raw wine or base wine in order that when you mix it, when you dilute it, it'll end up at a revi'it. So the Gemara tells us in other places that's rova revi'it. You need a quarter of a revi'it halog of wine so that when you dilute it three parts to one, then you'll end up with a revi'it halog because you have a quarter of a log, right, worth of wine. And when you put three parts water into it, you'll end up with a revi'it, which is the minimum shiur for kos yafeh. But now the Gemara says that, assuming now that all Shmuel means is that you can drink that much wine. You can just drink a wine that's a revi'it halog, 1/16 of a log, that'd be enough to drink. That's what the Gemara is assuming. The Gemara will come and correct that later. Shatan chai yatsa. You drink it raw. Raw again means undiluted. You're yotze. Shatan bevat achat. Drink it in one time. Yatsa. You're also yotze. Hishka man the banov of Bnei Beito. If he gives it over to his family, yatsa. Again, he's yotze. Shatan chai yatsa. He drinks it raw or undiluted. Yatsa amarava. Rava has yidei yain yatsa. He's yotze the din of yain. Yidei chayrut lo yatsa. But the din of chayrut is not yotze. So according to the Rashbam, and according to the Rambam as well, Yidei Yayin Yatzah means that you're Yotzei the din of Dalet Kosot. But, as the Rashbam says here, you're not Yotzei doing it in the most proper way. The Chatchila, you should do it in a way that is pleasurable and Derech Herut. Drinking undiluted wine is not the most pleasurable and nicest way to drink the wine. And therefore you're Yotzei because you drank Dalet Kosot. But on the other hand, in terms of chayrut, that is not the real way to have chayrut. Real way to chayrut is to drink wine when it's diluted and it's the normal way to drink it. Then, on the other hand, when it comes to shatan bevat achat, what does it mean bevat achat? Rashi over here says bevat achat is he takes four cups and pours them into one single cup and then drinks it down. The Rashbam and Tosafot take issue with that and said it doesn't matter what the size of the cup is. When you have one cup, that's one cup. You can't make one cup into four cups, even if it holds four reviot. Nobody ever says that just because you have a bigger cup means you're drinking more cups. More cups means separate cups. The way the Rashbam and Tosafot explain it means that he drank sequentially. Four cups. Not like the way we do it. One cup for Kiddush, one cup for the Haggadah, one cup for Birkat HaMazon, one cup for Hallel. No, they drank one shot. He took them all four down in a row, but four separate cups. So now, Shatan V'Achad, Rav Amar Yidei Yayin Yatsa. He's Yotzei the din of Yayin, Yidei Arba Kosot Lo Yatsa. But he's not Yotzei the din of Arba Kosot. So the way the Rashbam reads that is, Yidei Yayin Yatsa means that he was Yotzei the din of Simchas Yom Tov. So he accomplished Simchas Yom Tov. On the other hand, Yidei Dalet Kosot Lo Yatsa. He's not Yotzei Dalet Kosot because that's not the way to drink Dalet Kosot. Dalet Kosot are subject to the different mitzvot that are associated with them. You can't be Yotzei Dalet Kosot by drinking in one shot. The Rambam here is a different girsa. And the Rambam's girsa is Yatsa Yidei Chayrut. Over here, Yotzei the day Chayrut, but Dalet Kosot Lo Yatsa. The Rambam sees this as the opposite of the other case. The case of Shatan Chai, where you drank it undiluted, and you did it dispersed over the different parts of the Seder, then over there you accomplished the Dalet Kosot, but you failed with regards to Yidei Chayrut. Over here, when you drink them in one shot, but they're diluted, so there, here, you did the Yidei Chayrut aspect of it, because they're diluted wine, so it's good wine to drink. On the other hand, the Dalet Kosot aspect of it, you failed at, because you didn't spread them out. Now, we discussed this earlier in the Perek, that this different girsa for the Rambam might also be impacted on his view of the Dalet Kosot. which as we said earlier in the parak on the first daf of Arvei Pesachim, the Tosfot over there discusses whether, when it comes to the Dalei Kosot, can one person drink on behalf of others? So from the Rambam, it's clear that each person has to have their own cup. Whereas Tosfot believes that maybe one person could be motzi everybody. The difference might have to do with exactly this question is, how closely correlated are the Dalei Kosot to Kiddush, the cup of Kiddush? Meaning that, are they totally separate? They have nothing to do with them. The din is totally, completely independent. Or maybe the kos of Kiddush is really a cup of Kiddush. And if it's a cup of Kiddush, it has the same dinim of Kiddush. That might relate to the different girsot that we have over here. The Rambam's girsa is only about Chirut and Dalei Kosot. It's all revolving around Dalei Kosot, which is that the only thing we're discussing here is Dalei Kosot. On the other hand, the way that Rashma has the girsa and Tosfot have the girsa here is the day Yayin Yotzah is speaking about Simchat Yom Tov. Now, Simchat Yom Tov, what does that have to do with the Dalei Kosot? There's no correlation between them. This might be what Tosfot is explaining, is that the Dalei Kosot are not totally independent. The Dalei Kosot integrate into the mitzvah, for instance, like Kiddush, that they are part and parcel of other than mitzvot that of the night, and not so independent. And that might relate to that machloket that we saw earlier. Now, Hishka, man, levanav uvnei beito, yatsa. I'm Rav Nachman b'Yitzchak, v'huda ishte ruba de kaso. Over here, it sounds like he has to drink the robe of a kos. Now, Rav Kos is a mlolugmav, which means a cheekful. It turns out that that is also Rova de Revit, meaning that the mlolugmav is the robe of the Revit, and that's what you have to drink. Although, as Tosafot says, lechatchilo, you should drink, chila tzarech lishtod revi'it, you should drink the entire revi'it, and not give it out to others. But he says that here, it sounds like others can help you. Question of why can others help you over here, is it because it looks like the cup of Kiddush, and just like Kiddush, others can help you finish up the revi'it? Or it's because you already accomplished Rova the Kos, so this little extra piece you can have other people help you with.
So here again, Tosafot Lishita To explains that Rov Kosa here means Melo Lugmav, which is a Rov Revi'it, similar to the way it is in Kiddush. On the other hand, the Ran says that you really have to drink Rov HaKos, to literally drink the Rov of a Kos, no matter how big the Kos is, because this is a unique din in Dalei Kosot, and not a din like in Kiddush, similar to what the Rambam says. Although here in our daf, the Ran actually says that it refers to a Rov Revi'it, and therefore you have a large cup. If everybody drinks a Rov Revi'it from that cup, they could all be Yotze from a single cup. But be that as may, that same difference that we just spoke about between the Tosafot and the Rambam will apply here. When we say that you have to drink Rov Kos, is this a unique din in Arba Kosot? Or is this the same din that we find by any other Kosho Bracha, the Kos of Kiddush, which means Mlo Nugmav or a Rov Revi'it?
So are these Dalei Kosot require that you have a full Revi'it Talog in them? Echad Chai v'Echad Mazuk, doesn't matter if it's undiluted or diluted. Chad Chadash v'Echad Yashan, doesn't matter if it's new wine or old wine. Here the Rishon brings down both possibilities, that one is better than the other. Chadash has flavor, the old one doesn't have flavor, the other way around. Tosafot favors that perspective, which is Yain Yashan is much better. Older wine, aged wine is much better. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tzarech Shebo Tam Umare Yayin. It has to have a taste of wine, and it has to look like wine. Tani Mihat Kedei Revi'it, that you have to have a full Revi'it. V'atamart, and before we said the name of Shmuel, Kos Yafeh, Amrei. Then you said that it has to be a Kos Yafeh. Kos Yafeh sounds like you only have to have that 1/16 of a lug, because you have to have enough wine to dilute it down, but you could drink that much and it would be fine. So that's the way the Rashbam reads the question. Rashi reads the question over here as being that in one case it sounds like you can drink it all together. Meaning that if you just put in Kedei Mizuget Kos Yafeh, you can drink it all in one shot. You don't have to split them up. And over here, it sounds like you have to have them separate. The Rishbam takes issue with that and says, I don't see any difference between the Braita and Shmuel. They both say the same thing. It's just a question of what they were speaking about. And therefore, the answer of the Gemara here is Imrei Idi V'Idi Chad Shiurahu. It's the same Shiur. My Kedei Mizuget Kos Yafeh De Kamar. What does that mean? Kol Chad V'Chad Da'avilu Kulu Revit. So now, the Kol Chad V'Chad is based on that Girsa of Rashi. That means that each one requires that amount. That's saying that they're separate kosot. But the real thing that we're focusing on here is the Avelu Kulu Revit. That it adds up to a Revit. What Shmuel is telling you is that you need that much undiluted wine to get to a Revit. And he agrees with the Braita that you have to have a Revit of Log. He's just telling you how much undiluted wine you need in the mixture to get to a Revit of Log. Not suggesting that you have the 1/16 of the Log would be sufficient. It has to have the taste, flavor of wine, and it has to look like wine. Amarava, my time with Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason behind Rabbi Yehuda's position? Dichtiv. And don't look at wine when it turns red, but it's a chastising by Mishlei. Don't look to get drunk on wine all the time. Don't look for the good wine to get drunk on. You should avoid being drunk at all times, or searching to be amongst those that are drunk, or looking for the wine to get drunk on. But you see from this that, that first of all, wine should be red. That's the first thing. So you should be red wine, and that's why on the night of the Seder, we try to use red wine for the wine of the Seder because of this idea. And number two is the idea of shikrut, that it causes drunkenness. It is intoxicating, and therefore that's what is unique about wine. Wine is an intoxicating beverage. And that's one of the aspects, or one of the reasons, that grape juice is somewhat frowned upon in terms of being used here, because one of the aspects of wine, what makes wine unique, is one, that it's red, and number two is that it's intoxicating. And that's why Shira is said over it, is because of this idea of the intoxication. And therefore it's appropriate to use wine that's intoxicating rather than simply grape juice. There are many poskim that say grape juice is fine. I'm just bringing up this aspect because the Rishpam brings it up, as well as there are some poskim that say that for that reason, one should opt towards wine rather than grape juice in these situations. All right, we'll stop here.